Hey there, Czech Republic. As we jump into this Dave Damaschek football program, we have Al Franken, the senator from Minnesota, joining us at the end of the audio podcast. It will not be available on video, at least as a part of the full Dave Damaschek football program episode upcoming. If you want to hear that, like I say, all the way at the end of the audio podcast, my conversation with Al Franken. It's good stuff. He's a Vikings fan, so you want to check it out, NFC North fans. All right, on with the show.
Going to the hurry-up offense.
In the flats, it's sharp. Touchdown, Packers.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Damaschek football program, presented as always by McDonald's All Day Breakfast. That was the voice of Joe Buck back in the 90s, I think, calling a Brett Favre touchdown pass while Joe Buck made water. He joined us on the Dave Damaschek football program earlier in the week. I encourage you, nay demand, that you go back and dig that up at NFL.com/podcasts. Listen, watch it, whatever. It was terrific. We have a soundbite, one more from Joe Buck here.
And I kept going, I've got to go. And somebody handed me like one of those little water bottles.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? I just slapped that away. And there was a girl in the booth. I said, you're going to have to leave. And I had a parka on, and it was a trash can like that with a bag in it. And I so now the break happens, and stage fright hits, and I can't go.
I don't understand why we just played the soundbite of him recounting that anecdote, because now after I said, well, now go back and listen to it, well, you just heard it. Now you don't need to go hear it.
Oh, but there's other stuff as well.
There's more to the story, says Emma VP. Yes. All right, let's say hello. Well, we'll do proper hellos in a minute. Matt Money Smith, Handsome Hank Eisen, Cynthia Freeland here for Week 14, Red Challenge flag picks and beyond. You know, Joe Buck got me thinking here. Matt Money Smith, of course, a noted national voice.
Noted.
In pro football
noted by
and
who?
College.
Noted
play
in
by
game
play.
Notes. That's where I'm. That's how I am
right
noted.
By Damaschek.
Yes.
Don't you see?
Thank you,
when
Dave.
When you turn on NFL Network, and
yeah.
The NFL Films is doing its top tens, and
yeah, you hear
it's
me.
Timeless. Not you. You hear Damaschek. You see Damaschek, because I got a face for TV, baby. Now, Matt Money Smith has a voice of the gods. Here's my next quest.
Stop it.
My next quest, the next voice of NFL Films for the next 50 years.
It's not going to happen. Although I do appreciate my, you know, the extent of my NFL Films work these days is the interstitials for all the top 10 shows. And it is funny how different I am, because they have conditioned me for what they want. They know exactly how they want them to sound. So I sound nothing like myself. Well, I guess I do sound like myself.
You sound like
people,
yourself.
But it's kind of this hairy callus that I'll put on. The number 10 interception of all time.
You know, just,
that it's
is
got
right.
That kind of weird. Oh, that's not really me. Oh, but I guess it is.
Yes, Harry Callis had some attitude with that great voice, and so too did John Facenda, the gold standard.
Yeah,
for all
the best of the best.
Just say one time. Say there are 27 teams in the National Football League, and then there are the Pittsburgh Steelers.
There are 27 teams in the National Football League, and then there are the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, maybe
I
was wrong. No, I'm not always right about things. No.
See terrific. What I mean?
All right, this is what I want to talk about. Let's go around the table here. Vern Lundquist has now called his final SEC game. He's one of the legends of my time.
Very sad.
And in
like
all
him.
Of football broadcasting.
Too bad he did it with Danielson in there.
Yeah, it's a bummer, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that could
I love Vern, but just not a big Gary Danielson guy. Sorry to poop all over your parade there,
no,
Dave. Trying to solve the guy.
Love Vern.
What about
love.
It? I want to determine here and now. Every once in a while we jump in on these things, and as we come down the home stretch here of 2016, let's see if we can evaluate, because there is a little bit, I feel like, a passing of the guard. Keith Jackson has moved on. Pat Summerall isn't around any longer.
Touchdown.
Al Michaels is pretty much the
– He's it.
Lone guy left,
yeah.
Right? And Bob Cricky. Real quick, let's take a listen to Pat Summerall. Let's evaluate these and see who our favorite of all time is.
Only 12 seconds left to play third quarter. Here's Marcus Allen. Cutting back upfield, and Marcus Allen could be gone. For Marcus Allen. And the Raiders are starting to shove this one in the winner's column.
You know, the thing about that is, so we talked to Joe Buck, like I say, and he got a lot of heat. I guess I missed this, but his David Tyree.
Oh, he got a ton of heat for Tyree.
Right, because he didn't celebrate it. His voice inflection didn't, I guess, reflect the ridiculousness of the play. Well, and a lot of people pushed back at him for that.
My guess would be that he didn't know if it was a catch. That's, you know, and rule number one of play-by-play is if you're going to freak out over a big play, you better be damn
better
sure
be right. Yeah, better
that,
be right.
that it's a
right.
big play. So that's what I took from it. When everyone was giving him incoming, I was like, hey, wait a minute, man. He caught that ball in his helmet. He went to the ground. He's surrounded by three Patriots. You can't freak out if you don't know if that's a catch.
That's why I wanted Matt Money Smith here.
Is that what he said?
Exactly what Joe Buck said. And also, he said that I asked him because his style does sound to me a little bit like a modern-day Pat Summerall.
That's a great
call. The less is more. I mean, there's no voice of Pat Summerall, go back and watch the Super Bowl 14, the Steelers dynasty hanging in the balance against the upstart L.A. Rams in the fourth quarter. Terry Bradshaw corks a 75-yard bomb to John Stallworth, who catches it and runs it in. And Pat Summerall, it sounded like a play in mid-August.
Second quarter, yeah. Preseason game.
Long pass for Stallworth. He's got it. Touchdown. Like there's
I kind of liked it.
Yeah,
I kind of liked that he's
that was
like
his style.
Deadpan.
But it's not for kids, though. I think it's a mature. Yeah. You have to acquire the taste for that kind of thing. You expect your guys to be bombastic and so on. By the way, Maurice Jones-Drew heard that call, and he gave it a B+.
The Tyree call?
Yeah.
Well, I think if
wait,
you
which the Tyree
to
one?
Joe Buck.
To Joe Buck. Oh, in front of him?
Well, they critiqued each other.
Oh, wait
Maurice
a minute.
Maurice is a broadcaster now. So
right, he's an analyst now.
We had him. We had Buck notes.
What did Buck do
Buck
for him?
Buck gave Maurice an A. Then we played a little Buck sound for Maurice. Maurice gave him a B+.
Thanks, Maurice. Yeah. Although, in his defense, I would say if you were to play that clip for someone that doesn't quite understand, you know, what that is, I could see him, like, saying, hey, man, that's – you could have done a lot better on that one there, Joe. Right?
Next up, let's hear some Vern. He obviously called some college football, has been calling college football, but back in the day he also did some NFL. I think he was paired up with Terry Bradshaw for a while in the 90s.
Vern was?
Yeah, that was a great duo, come to think of it. But he also called Super Bowl 13, I think on Cowboys Radio is I think where he called it. This is a pretty iconic one. Take a listen here.
Third down and three, Dallas at the Pittsburgh 10. Roger back to throw, has a man open in the end zone, caught, touchdown, dropped in the end zone. Jackie Smith all by himself. Oh, bless his heart, he's got to be the sickest man in America.
That's what, that
there
it bless
is.
His heart. Yeah. Bless his heart.
See, and there it is. I mean, that's the one thing. I hate to do it, but that's the one thing you cannot do. I mean, that ball has got to be caught before you say caught touchdown, because people listening are like, caught touchdown? What? Why would you say that? Damn. I mean, they're freaking out when you're like, oh, no, he dropped it. It's like, well, why did you say touchdown then? But I love Vern. Vern is fantastic.
But I think Vern's one of those guys who didn't get the obviously he was getting some big national gigs, but he was sort of left off that list, that Mount Rushmore.
Yes.
Until 8-10 years ago, then people finally started to recognize, wow, this guy is great, and he's an older guy too.
You know what I think helped him is Tiger Woods, is the fact that he was a voice of CBS Golf, and he became the voice along with Jim Nantz, but I think more Vern even, because he was the one calling more of the play-by-play of some of Tiger, you know, the putt, the famous putt at the Masters. So I think that's what helped Vern out
a
lot, is that,
call.
You know, when people really got into golf, and that's a tough sport to announce, and he is fantastic at it.
If I'm not mistaken, Vern was at the 17th at Augusta when Nicklaus in 86 makes that putt, and that's when you realize, oh, he's
exactly.
going to do it. Nicklaus
yes.
is going to win the Masters at 46. Chime in here, Cynthia and Handsome. Don't wait for me.
Sorry, okay. I'm dominating.
I'm trying to get through all the,
this is just, his expertise.
I get
I'm just trying to get through all the sound here. Real quick, here's some Keith Jackson during the first season of Monday Night Football.
Two powers in professional football meet for the first time ever as members of the new American Football Conference of the National Football League. The New York Jets, led by the passing wizardry of Joe Namath, and the Cleveland Browns, led by the power running of Leroy Kelly.
Love the flowery prose. Yeah. I mean, that the people just don't go at it like
He's
that
the best.
Anymore.
The granddaddy of them all.
Why don't you do that, Money? I want you to start to talk that way.
Come on. I'm an idiot. I'm a complete idiot. I don't have. I'll tell you a great Keith Jackson story real quick. My radio partner, Petros Papadakis, finally plays in a game being announced by Keith Jackson. He's a running back. And play action fake just hammers his block, crushes this blitzing linebacker, right? Allows a touchdown pass. Keith Jackson goes, touchdown, UFC, and what a block thrown by the back, Sultan McCullough. He's like, Sultan McCullough? That's who you're mistaken me for? I finally get my name uttered by Keith Jackson in a big game? He thought I was Sultan McCullough? Oh, yeah.
I think I you know, with all due respect to every other broadcaster, I think that I feel bad for Petros now, because I think if I could hear anybody say my name,
yeah,
it would be
it'd
him.
Be Keith. Oh, he's
maybe
the best.
Facenda. Maybe Facenda in history of mankind. I might. Yeah. I remember always at Indiana University, it was thrilling to me to hear him say the running back at the time, Anthony Thompson's name. Anthony Thompson. He's a horse.
Yeah, he's the best. Keith's one of my favorite, if not my favorite.
Al Michaels, here he is calling a kick of some note back in a Super Bowl from years past.
Adam Lingner will snap it. No good. Wide right.
Al, you know, it was funny. Joe Buck said this. Al's voice has changed the most, I feel like, from his
– so much deeper.
Vern sounds almost exactly the same. Keith Jackson is indistinguishable outside of audio quality. But Al doesn't sound at all like current Al. I wonder, Joe Buck said the same thing Matt Money Smith always says to people who ask – kids who ask, hey, how do you get that good broadcaster voice? What's the answer?
I started smoking when I was 12.
Actually, Joe didn't give that advice. He said his old man – Jack would give that same advice to everybody. Start burning the nails, kid.
Yeah.
That's how you get
Thankfully,
it
I quit while I was still a wee lad. But, you know what? We'll go 14, regularly smoking the Benson and Hedges 100s.
There you go.
Got to get that gravel.
Pro tip, kid.
That's right, kids. Pick them up. Smoke them if you got them.
One more here, and then we'll jump into modern time pro football talk here. But a guy whose voice he was as much as Dick Enberg or Al Michaels or Keith Jack, this guy was the voice of my football-watching youth. Don Crickey of NBC. Now he does the Notre Dame radio calls, but take a listen to Crickey here.
Not only will Tom Dempsey hits this one, he's got a very slight win at his back. He'll set a National Football League record in addition to winning the game. I don't believe this.
It's good! I don't believe it! The field goal attempt was good from 63 yards away! It's incredible! Tulane Stadium has gone wild!
Don Crickey, he's still doing it.
Still doing it.
He called my favorite college football game of all time the 84, January 1, 1984 Orange Bowl between Nebraska and Miami, best college football game I've ever seen. I think it is the best game of all time. Yeah, Crickey and Bob Trumpy, though, used to call a lot of Steelers games, and my old man always would announce at the start of this, NBC putting putting Bob Trumpy. He was a Bengal. He's biased against the Steelers, and for 3 hours.
Dude, listen, you hear that? You hear how he calls? Yeah, he really doesn't
care.
He hates
the Steelers.
Pops, he really doesn't hate him. He's just announcing the game. That's all. That's all he's doing out there.
On the other side of this intro, we will go around the table and hear everyone's vote for the best play-by-play football announcer of all time.
All right.
Let's start the show. Yes, hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program. As I mentioned earlier, we're presented by McDonald's All Day Breakfast, morning, noon, or night. Go get you some of them tender vittles, put them in your belly, and thank me later for that. Let's go around the table. Let's say hello. Cynthia Freeland, you see her on game day morning. You see her on Thursday Night Football. NFL Fantasy Live, her page is on NFL.com and beyond. What's the poop there, Freeland?
I mean, just hanging in here. Week 14.
Yeah, your Lions are doing better than hanging in.
It'll fade. I mean, the number one rule of being a Lions fan is you have to be ready for the implosion that's sure to happen.
The inevitable.
I do want to dig in here because this is a major week. This is the week that it could actually realistically swing fully to the Lions in a way that the Packers won't be able to rebound from. Next up, all the way from London, England, and really the world over at this point, he is his gig has him traveling to the football planet here, but he is a Miami Dolphins fan at heart. Here he is. It's Handsome Hank.
He's handsome.
Hello, handsome. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Dave.
Are you?
Yeah.
You were riding high for like improbably for what, a month and a half with your Dolphins, but
I know, I mean,
reality was delivered by the right arm of the elititudinous Joe Flacco last Sunday.
December arrived, and the Dolphins will return to the mean.
Well, this is a bummer so far. Freeland comes out of the gate with like, yeah, my Lions are two games up. They're going to blow it. They have four more games to blow a two-game lead. They'll do it. What about the Dolphins?
If you rewind to September, I was expecting maybe three wins this season. So everything from here is gravy.
All right. And let's say hello to the guy who now has a pretty new intro.
Oh, my favorite part of my day now.
And
here we
video.
Go.
If you want to watch the video, make sure you check it out. NFL.com/podcasts. It stars Cynthia Freeland and Handsome Hank.
Here I don't remember that.
You don't remember your participation?
No, but I drank a lot before.
It was your I thought it was maybe your alter ego or something.
Oh, yeah, could have been.
But all right, here it is.
Ah, that's so good. It makes me a little misty, I'll be honest. What an effort. Thank you so much, Cynthia and Hank, for putting that together.
Matt Money Smith, of course, the host of NFL Fantasy Live on NFL Network, bringing it home now. We got about, I guess we have three more.
We're all in the same boat. We've all been burning it at both ends here for a little while. The month of December, I think, makes fools of all of us.
Are you going to, and also make sure the aforementioned Petros and Money radio show, AM 570 if you're in LA, otherwise track it down, on iHeartRadio, the finest sports radio show, nay, the finest radio show in all the land. And that's why it was unseemly, if not felonious, for our colleague Akbar Bajabiamila.
Oh, yeah.
You might know him from, what's his show called? The Ninja or whatever?
I think that's it.
Something about
it. It's called The Ninja.
Ninja. I've always been thrown by that ninja thing because I always expected that it had to do with ninjas. It's actually an obstacle. I don't know. Anywho, Akbar Bajabiamila, who assaulted me about a year ago on
We're already back to you? Like that?
Not yet.
My video's still on the screen.
Well, he has a track record for
my
assault.
Video's on the screen, you know.
What? Now take a look at what he did to our own Matt Money Smith recently on NFL Fantasy Live. This is a former NFL football player, 6'5".
270 pounds.
And Matt Money Smith.
Would you like my measurements?
You're about 132.
Yeah,
look at this.
I am 5'11", 153.
92.
Yes. Yeah. 153 pounds is what I'm clocking in at.
Wait a second.
Did you know it was coming?
No.
No.
So I guess if you want to pull back the curtain and really get the details. So what has happened is Elliot, you can't see him. If you were to go to the bottom left corner.
Let me just say for our listeners, Akbar Bajabiamila, Money Smith,
yes,
doing his hosting gig, and out of nowhere comes former defensive end from San Diego State and the Oakland Raiders.
Three sacks to his name in the NFL.
All three.
Two.
Now he's got four.
Two.
Well, no, he has three after he assaulted the Jew named Dave Damaschek last year.
So now he's
now,
four.
And he
now
assaults
really,
the 20% Jew me.
153 pound. Are you really only 153?
Yeah. Look at me. I mean, my God, there's nothing to me. I'm built like a teenage girl. Yeah. I mean,
I don't know what's better, Freeland. What's better to be Damashek's neighborhood of like as a grown man or 153?
I think it's both. You know.
No. You got to pick. You got to pick.
What says man to you more? Someone who's responsible enough to watch his weight and keep himself down to 153, or a man who lets himself go because he's out not just surviving but living?
I mean, this is
gotta
a bad position I'm in.
No, you got to pick.
I think the beard's pretty manly, but I also think like taking care. You know, like I've seen him work out. You know,
right?
So it's kind of both. You could go either way.
All right, if you won't pick Hank, pick one.
Who's more man?
You're more man, but you're a lot more man.
Right.
You're about
60 pounds more man.
I'm not 60 pounds more than you.
Now, here's what I'll tell you, though. So the way this works is we are in the middle of doing this show. Elliot is off camera reading, doing some sort of voiceover for video that's on the screen. And in my ear, the producer, our friend Dylan Milliner, says, hey, we're going to come back on camera because Akbar is screwing around with Fabs. It'll be really funny before we get to what we call the bump, which is the videos you see and I tell you what's coming on next. So just be prepared. We're coming. So as they're saying that in my ear, I now begin to read the bump and I'm like, okay, am I on camera? Am I not? Where am I? And boom. That's it. So I am so not aware of what is going on behind me because I'm dealing with a producer in my ear.
You got a head whip, guys.
Well, here's what really sucks. I don't mind the head whip because I have a chicken neck. I mean, of course that's going to happen. My God, there's nothing here.
I have a prediction to make.
I have no traps. I have no lats.
Before you say what you're going to say, first of all, again, watch this. If you're an audio consumer, find NFL.com/podcasts and take a look at this and judge for yourself. My prediction is what you were about to say is the thing that you're more embarrassed by is the sound you made.
Oh, no. No, the sound because I was about to drop an F-bomb. And I caught myself recognizing, oh, I'm on TV. I can't do that.
I don't know if we have the audio.
Yeah, I think I said, oh, my God.
Oh, no. No, it was, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I gotta say as well, Fabiano is your blindside blocker. That was a bad decision. Anyway.
I'll tell you what I am most upset about is that I dropped the ball. No ball security. I had a pen in my hand and it went flying. You can see it. When I get hit, you can see this pen fly no less than 30 yards down the field. It is being scooped up and it will be scored.
How is he making this up to you?
He doesn't give a damn.
No, he thinks it's funny.
Akbar doesn't give a damn.
He assaulted me a year ago. Let's do it side by side here and see who took the bigger lick from the bully, Akbar Bajabiamila. Here's Damashek.
Yep.
Get steamrolled. You didn't see the hit there.
No.
I also lost possession of the football. I was struck. What you can't really see, though, on mine is he drops that right arm like Thor's hammer
to get that ball out of you.
Yeah. Yeah, I dropped
this,
it.
This
Here's
might,
the
this
difference.
Show it better.
You knew it was coming.
No, I didn't know.
How did you not know it was coming?
Because we weren't playing tackle football out there.
The
I was
position
a
you
football.
End up in, you asked me a question a few minutes ago.
You're wobbly when you stand
you
up, by the way.
You asked me a question a few minutes ago. The position you end up in, I'm going to say that money's more man than you.
Oh, I don't think so. There is nothing manly about what happened to me.
The correct answer is there are no winners.
Yeah. I'll tell you what echoed in my head. And I'm being completely honest right now. What echoed in my head when that happened about 5 minutes later, I think we're the same, that I could laugh at myself all day. And as a matter of fact, I love moments like that. It's fantastic. It's good for the show. But
Not me.
Taylor saying, man, that's somebody's dad.
Yeah, that's right.
that's Ike's line.
That's somebody's dad right there, man.
Shaq, you got to get up. You're someone's daddy.
Shaq, you got to get up. You're someone's daddy.
Come on, money. You someone's daddy. You got three girls, man.
Oh, he gave you the same.
Was in my head. It was what was in my head. Come on, money. You someone's daddy.
The bottom line is, Freeland, we both are now losers in your book, aren't we?
Nope, you're both winners.
No, it's all right. Nice. That's very nice. Kind.
All right, real quick, let's go around and pay off what I said we would 10 minutes ago. Freeland, favorite national football play-by-play man of all time?
I mean, I have to say Keith Jackson, but I have to give a shout-out to Ernie Harwell because you know, that's obviously a different sport, but I loved growing up with Ernie Harwell calling the Detroit Tigers games and his like Southern, like sort of twang with the Tigers, like,
sure.
Straight down Woodward, like all these things that were just very Ernie Harwell.
Yeah. Those
I took
guys,
a little, but I think Keith's my favorite.
The local guys are that's sort of almost a different conversation. Myron
yes.
Cope, I highly doubt would play
right.
nationally, but the yoy and double yoy, the pit, the terrible towel is poisonous.
Harry Carey.
Right.
I mean, that's the perfect example.
Harry
yeah,
great.
I mean,
love
where
Carey,
do you
Carey
come too. Down on booze in the broadcast booth, money? Because it used to be a thing. I've been scolded for wearing it on my sleeve.
Yeah.
At Super Bowl 45, as a matter of fact, I had the temerity to express glee when the Steelers scored a touchdown.
Can't do that. No
and
rooting.
I was reprimanded.
No
You're
rooting.
Not allowed to cheer
no.
in the press box. They used to have kegs of beer in there.
Yeah.
Now I can't make a peep in the press box. That's a shame.
Well, it's
a
weren't even in a press box either. We were in an NFL.com box.
I know. I don't want to name who reprimanded me.
Yeah, that's
me
not okay.
My noise.
Where do I come out on booze?
Yeah.
when I was with the Lakers, they would bring in cases of beer, and we would sneak some up to the broadcast area. But we wouldn't crack them until after the game. So I would have a couple 2-3 in me for the post game.
But wait a second. Harry Carey, Myron Cope, many guys would enjoy having a couple during the game.
A couple? Right. My God. Harry would start drinking in the second, and by the sixth, you couldn't understand what he was saying. No, I'm not kidding either.
Why wouldn't that be great for that to be an alternate broadcast for games?
You know why? Because
listen to the guys who are loaded.
When he was doing that, guess what we were doing? We were in the back of a station wagon with no seatbelts, playing with our Matchbox cars, driving down the street. Our old man with a cigarette out the door and a Miller Lite in his hand. That's why. I mean, it's a different time.
It's a safer time that we live in. Maybe not
certainly
a better
is.
Time, though.
Yeah.
Handsome Hank, your vote. All the way from London,
all the way from London, England. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of those guys, we would get one game a week. So it was difficult. And Summerall was the guy. That was who I always, when I was growing up watching football in the 80s and 90s, that was who I always heard. So whether he's the best, he's the one that means the most to me when I hear those.
Money?
All right, I'm gonna get crazy here. One, I'm with Cynthia. Keith Jackson's my favorite. Just if you tell me I get one guy to call my favorite game, I want Keith on the call. However, I do want to suggest, because I know he's very polarizing, but I love him. I think the amount of fun that Kevin Harlan has calling games cannot be undersold. And there is something to be said for listening to a broadcast where he's, you know, playing, where he's grabbing it with his buddy a little bit, you know, whoever's in the booth, and it just sounds like they're having fun. It's not mechanical. There's some offset conversations that make their way into the broadcast. I really think Kevin Harlan should be cited more than he is as a hell of a broadcaster.
Well, there is a little, like we say, there's a little bit of a vacuum upcoming, and in fact, it's already beginning now as a lot of the old guard moves on. Maybe Kevin Harlan will get a bit bigger profile. One of the big bummers of my career is that I have an audio recording of him saying, while I'm interviewing him, saying, "Damashek with no regard for human life."
It's the best.
And now I can't find it. Yeah. I have no idea what happened.
No.
It's a bummer. But anywho, so that's, I like talking about broadcasters. And before Matt Money Smith runs out of here and we dig in on the Red Challenge flag picks, let's do a quick batch of dad jokes here. We won't go full in here, but Money did have one last week he wanted to share, and I wanted to give him an opportunity to share it now.
Or are we going to do the Twitter?
I don't know. We're not going to do the whole thing this time.
Am I the only one that has one?
We're pressed for time. Oh, by the way, I didn't mention Al Franken is coming up for the audio.
What?
In a little while here.
Senator Franken.
Senator Al Franken. I didn't mention that at the top.
Bury the lead.
I know. Yeah. Anywho, he is coming up here. He's a big Vikings fan, Saturday Night Live writer, maybe even has some thoughts on the political climate in which we live and will be living in going forward here. But yes, Handsome, Money, and I combined to have double-digit kids, and so we started doing dad jokes here. Cynthia's a fan of them as well. I notice your mother now follows me on Twitter.
She's an expert liker as well.
I like that.
She's very good. She's an expert
liker.
There
we go.
Yep, she's really good at liking.
All right, Money.
It's easy. Just tap that heart.
She does. Oh, I like you. Like
lay it on
you
us
do.
There, Money. I feel like when people like my stuff, but they don't, you know, share it or what's that?
Oh, instead of retweeting, they just like
they
it.
They don't retweet it like it. It's a little patronizing.
Okay, how about
some people don't know what retweets are. They don't understand retweets as much as they understand likes.
All right, Mama Freeland.
Mama
I want
Freeland.
Some retweets or bust from this point forward.
I just feel fortunate she follows you. Jeez, I'd like to get a follow for Mama Freeland. I don't have one.
Marianne, are you listening?
Come on, Marianne.
Let's go here.
Get it together.
Marianne is listening.
How about that,
and she...
Matt Money Smith. Let's go, Marianne. Come on. Yeah.
Matt Money Smith has been a Sherpa for your daughter at the NFL meet.
He has. Yeah.
All right, lay it on us.
All right, you ready?
Pops.
I'm going to set this up. I was in a restroom at a BJ's restaurant and brew house in Brea, California, and I don't know if this young man decided to tell me this joke because he is a fan of the Dave Damashek football program or what, but as I am washing my hands unsolicited, this, I'm going to say, 11-year-old looks at me and says, "How can you tell the difference between snowmen and snow women?" I look down at the young man and I say, "How can you tell the difference between snowmen and snow women?" And he goes with this wry smile, "Snowballs."
that's
the greatest bathroom encounter ever.
That's great. Amazing.
Yes.
Very good. Very strong. Emma VP, we did get one visual one. Do we have that to share or do we want to do that? Yeah, there's people are sharing them with us. You can do the same. Hashtag dad jokes is how you do it. Well, here's one from Nick Anderson. What did the football coach say to the broken vending machine?
Oh, my goodness.
Nice.
Nick's response to that one is, give me my quarterback.
Right.
It's good.
It's a good one.
Handsome, do you have one?
I do have one.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Why did the cat have to go to the vet?
Why did the cat have to go to the vet?
Because it had a massive stroke.
Whoa! Boy, you got the stinker noise on that one.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Now let's get to it before we make our picks for Week 14. Money will not be around for those.
I don't get to do them?
You're welcome to stay, but you have an
actual job to go. I'll stay as long. I got like 10 minutes left in
before
me.
We do that,
I'm going to write it out.
We talk about who are you loving. Let's do it. We'll start with you. Marianne's daughter.
Oh, now you're patronizing your mother.
No, I love it.
Now she knows how it feels with all those favorites.
I always like to pick something that's like maybe a player you're not necessarily thinking will have a big week or someone kind of under the radar. So I want to make the case for Tyrell Williams this week to be a good wideout one start. Just a little sneak there.
I would love that advice, except that I got a bye. I won my division in the fantasy playoffs,
so I won't be playing this week.
But I'll keep an eye on him for week 15.
How about that?
Handsome Hank, who are you loving?
Well, I've translated who am I loving a little differently this week. I want to give a hug to, so I'm actually going to give some loving to Jets and 49ers fans who have to watch their two terrible teams who've given up on this season.
Week 14.
Play against each other in Week 14 in a game which, honestly, like you have to be the most dedicated Jets or 49ers fan to watch that. And at the same time, you're probably half wishing you'll lose because at the moment you're thinking about the draft rather than your standings this year.
It's funny, you know, I like to talk about the Loser Bowl and that the two worst teams should have to play each other the week before the Super Bowl, and the winner gets the first overall pick in the draft in the upcoming spring. I was looking at the Niners-Bears game last week as two good candidates for that one. Here's another one. The Niners, though, imagine they scored 6 points against the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
No, but the Jets.
That's
I mean, the Jets.
Yeah, but I love Todd Bowles, though. I like Todd Bowles, the Jets coach. I think I want him to stay. Like, I don't want his job to be in jeopardy.
I don't think he'll get fired.
I hope not.
Yeah, I think that quarterback situation was such a disaster.
I hope so, because I really like Todd Bowles. Really like Todd
Bowles. Can I get one of those?
Yeah. I think based on – oh, what we –
that's one. Wonderful. Thank you.
What is this, a chocolate milkshake? Something
we
like that?
Hold on.
That's what I asked for.
Wait. Our empty McDonald's glasses, which leave my heart feeling empty.
Orange drink. Delicious.
I like orange drinks.
Do they still make – I love the Shamrock Shake.
They do.
Still in summertime make
No, not summertime. It's St. Patrick's Day.
But they used to make the orange one.
The orange. Oh, I jumped.
I love
sorry.
That
what was the orange?
Remember that.
It tasted like
it tastes like a creamsicle, like an orange – like a push-up pop.
That would be
awesome. That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what it tasted like.
Yeah.
That's right.
It was really good.
Like a push-up. That'd be
you have hey, McDonald's, can you bring that back?
Yeah, right.
I got
this juice cup work. This thing on.
Hello, hello.
We're still literally. We're still just working with empty buckets. empty.
We are.
Well, I mean, what do we need to do?
Can you get me a soda in a bucket?
Yeah.
Is that what you call a cup?
Well,
in buckets.
Well, I mean, when they get to some of the sizes that they
sure.
have, them,
that's a good point. That's
bucket
fair.
Size
that is
to
fair.
Me.
You know what? I periodically I like to celebrate Handsome's pronunciations of words. What
yes.
is you know the more fancy word for a drink? You know, like you get a it starts with a B.
A beverage.
Oh, it's the same. I thought there might be some.
Do you want me to say beverage?
I don't know what you.
Beverage.
It's a beverage.
I mean, I guess there's still a little. It's a little quicker. It's like Tottenham instead of Tottenham. It's
Tottenham.
Beverage. Oh. Beverage.
Your American accent.
Instead of beverage.
The best. The best one remains is when he says, you know, when little pieces of paper fall from this from
yeah.
the ceiling when something exciting when a celebration is going
what is that?
On.
Mm-hmm.
What's that
confetti.
One?
Confetti.
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 That is good.
Let the confetti fall, Jay.
Confetti.
It's the century mark once again. Strawberries for all.
Strawberries for all.
Yeah, strawberry.
I knew you were coming
favorite.
With strawberries.
Always.
Money, who are you loving?
I'll tell you what I'm loving. As a man who has a Christmas tree in his living room, you know what I'm loving? That giant funnel that somebody came up with to put water in the base of that tree so the needles don't get dry. Have you not? Oh, I love
it. Oh, I don't know.
I've got to go.
Oh, here we go. All right,
you
ready?
Every other time I spill water
exactly,
everywhere.
Exactly. And you got needles on your head.
Right.
And then the ornaments clanking. No, somebody came up with this funnel. Okay, so imagine a bucket on top of this just giant four-foot-long.
Like a watering can, but like a.
Sorry, a what?
a watering can.
Watering
can. Yeah, and it's just this massive tube that goes all the way into the base and extends up like 4 feet.
Wait, that's what she said. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Where do you get that from?
I think you can buy it from the local Christmas tree lot.
Really?
Yes.
I'm going to get one.
There you go. So that's what I'm loving.
I love it. And by the way, the Christmas tree has been erected now in my home. Yeah, that's right. Is it too soon to you?
No. I mean, I had to think about it, but
why'd you think about it?
By the end of the week.
What led you to think about it?
Well, I just, wanted to think. What you don't want is a Christmas tree dying on you and on Christmas Day.
It's true. Needles everywhere.
Sick Christmas.
Yeah.
So that's my time. That's what I'm thinking. But now that I know about the.
It's great. It is great. Change your life. Change your life.
I will say to round out who we're loving this week. This is more boring and football-y, but I love the Seahawks at the Packers when they were 4-6. You know, and people started talking about, can Aaron Rodgers run the table? Is this possible? The game I circled was this one. Now there's no Earl Thomas out there, so that should presumably open things up a little bit for Aaron Rodgers. However, how are the Packers going to stop the Seahawks from doing anything? And yet the Seahawks scored only 5 points at Tampa two weeks ago. So there are a lot of interesting storylines. Like I say, Earl Thomas, what is the Legion of Boom going to do without Earl Thomas? Talk to anybody about playing the cover three the way they like to do it, and you remove him from that, they're going to be mediocre back there. You can talk about Richard Sherman. Cam Chancellor is great.
He's their thumper.
Right, but he's a two-dimensional guy. He's not going to make up for what Earl Thomas was providing back there. So all of a sudden, I feel like, one, the Seahawks have taken a significant loss on the level of the Patriots losing Rob Gronkowski. One, and two, what can Rodgers do this again and steal this division? But if they don't, if he loses this game, if the Packers drop this one, and your Lions win, which they should at home against the Bears, that's it. The division's over, and the Detroit Lions are going to do it, basically. Right.
You know, that's that. Yeah.
So anyway, fascinating.
The only thing there is, yes, Earl Thomas is a huge loss, but I think two games ago when we saw them lose, they were also without Michael Bennett and like Sheed. There was a bunch of other pieces missing too. So not that you never want to lose Earl Thomas, and you want, yes, absolutely. But I think that they've gotten healthier overall since two games ago when we saw them lose. So I'm not saying that it's going to be like, his loss isn't going to be felt. But I'm just saying, don't discount.
I think the big
Michael
question
Bennett
is, what's the bigger loss? Is it without Michael Bennett or without Earl Thomas? Because we saw, like you said, Cynthia, they did not look good without Michael Bennett. Once they got Michael Bennett in there, I mean, it seemed like they were a lot more effective.
There are a lot of people who will tell you, who know what they're talking about, that Michael Bennett's the best defensive player in the NFL. But then again, there will be people who tell you Bobby Wagner is.
Yeah.
Earl Thomas, a lot of people say, not just for his physical deeds, but his ability to organize all the 10 guys in front of him in that defense. It's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out here. Hopefully, we'll get to watch this game in the glorious snow that we saw.
That's what they're saying.
That's the best part, when you watch it in the snow.
Not being there.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
No.
I went to enough games in snow pants, and when I was in Chicago and I would go to Bears games, and literally two pairs of snow pants and three jackets.
And I'm like, this is so fun.
And then I'm like, no, this is actually
not fun.
Au contraire.
I think it's great fun going to snow games.
Nope.
First of all, here's what I always say.
Easy there, Boozy McGee.
The same
thing. You get all liquored up on your whiskey, and then it's a whole lot of fun, isn't it?
Even as a child, I loved it. And I was drunk then. No.
My parents would dip their finger in the whiskey and rub it around my gums.
I remember from my youth it being at playoff games for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it was so cold outside. My sister Amy and I, we'd get the hot chocolate, and we would literally pour it onto our hands to warm them up, which is insane in hindsight that we were doing that. But I think that was
more palatable because they were winning the games. Remember that Vikings-Seahawks game in the playoffs last year, and all those fans who'd be standing there, and they were like, by the end of the game, they were about a foot deep in snow. And if that kick had gone through, then that would have all been worthwhile, and thank you, Blair Walsh, you did it. But on the other hand,
you're frozen and walking to your car.
I've just been standing here for 4 hours. Yeah.
But there's a buy-in that you can't get when you're sitting in climate control. There's a buy-in of the shared experience. That's why.
I agree with you.
My contention is.
You're a romantic, Dave Damashek.
Maybe it is.
Romantic.
But I don't think, and maybe this is going to upset.
Communion of,
everybody below the Mason-Dixon line won't like this opinion. But I do think that
another one of Dave.
Green Bay, Chicago,
Detroit, Minnesota, Buffalo.
No, not Detroit and Minnesota.
No, we like
Buffalo,
it our inside
Pittsburgh,
with our Euros.
Philly, New York. These places that play out in the conditions.
Oh, I thought you were saying you want them all to have outdoor stadiums.
I do. They all should. But it's the shared experience. You can delude yourself into feeling like, this miserable state that we're playing in right now, well, we're sitting here watching.
Hey,
we're with you guys.
Don't sell Kansas City short either. I've called plenty of
December games
in Kansas City.
Oh, it's going to be real cold there
tonight. It is nasty.
Nasty. But here's what I'm going to tell you. The good thing about when it's actually snowing is that it is warm enough to snow. I know that sounds ridiculous,
right,
but when you're from the Midwest and you can remember when it is actually too cold for snow to happen, that's when you don't want to be outside.
Want life, kids. Here's my advice to the kids. What you want is, you know, when you're in college.
Today, you've already told them to smoke. So
yeah.
Smoke,
you know?
Drink as a child.
Drink as a child. And
I like comfort. I like, you know, I like the notion of cheers that go into a place where everybody knows your name.
Yeah.
And you do want those comfortable places in life where you can go and know people and everything else. But you also have to mix in unique life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, to your point, it was a miserable one. But nevertheless, the Steelers at kickoff against the Patriots in the AFC title game. At kickoff, it was 1 degree outside and got colder as it went along. I'll remember that forever.
Of course.
What you want are unique experiences in life.
Like Tom Coughlin's face in that Giants
game. Oh, when it was a chapped lip.
Face was like red and about to fall off. And you're like, somebody get this man a space heater. Like something. Like
I argued online. I'm handsome. You might have been on there too. Last Sunday, I was celebrating the snow as I always do in a football game, and Patrick Claibon stepped up to play curmudgeon and say, "No, why would that matter? I'd rather just watch the game, a good clean game." And I mean, again, to my point, yes, I remember Shady McCoy going off against the Detroit Lions for over 200 yards because of the snow.
Right.
I will always games of various import. Always remember that Giants and Packers game for the NFC title because of the conditions outside. I remember when Tampa won its first division crown in 79 when it was a deluge of rain against Kansas City and no one could hold the ball. It wasn't because of the importance of the game. It was because I remember it was pouring rain outside.
But have you ever noticed that the kind of the reverse thing happens, like when the Bills go play the Dolphins and there's humidity and it's like real hot and nice and warm and they're happy, but they run out of gas because they're not used to living in that humidity.
Sweating too much.
So like it kind of goes both ways, right? Like,
but that doesn't necessarily bring up those romantic feelings.
Right.
Nope.
No, that's
but
why
extreme.
I'm with you, Dave. I just don't want to sit in it. That's all. I mean, I'm with you. I love watching it on the TV. That is my little film. You know, it's there, and I'm in the comforts of my own home watching.
I think the three of us went to a Thursday night game in
Chicago.
The Cowboys and the Bears, that was cold. You were there at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Money and I had to get. I don't know what you're talking about with that, but Money and I had to be down on the field. What was it? 6 a.m.
It was like 6 a.m. and they insisted that we not wear top coats. That we had to be in our suits and my dress shoes, and we're standing out there. Okay, Dave, with our stick mics.
We were out there.
I believe Dave was lying in the end zone.
At 6 a.m.
Yeah, it was brutal.
We went out there at 6 a.m. in our suits. We couldn't have overcoats.
Soldier Field, whipping
wind.
And
they had an audio issue. So remember that?
That's right.
We were out there
2 hours.
1 hour. Oh, well, it was two.
Two hours.
And for some reason, we couldn't leave the field. So we had to stand at the 50-yard line. And in Chicago, when you're by the lake, as Soldier Field is, it's 20 degrees colder than it is anywhere else.
And the wind is cutting through your
body. It was so bitter. So bitter.
Yeah.
I love it.
You're both men.
That's right. Like,
that's very manly.
Yes.
Do we remember that, though? We do.
I have to remind you, but yes.
Money's embellishing it. We were out there for three and a half hours.
Did you also walk
the game was happening around us.
We had to sleep
on
that field.
Listen,
that night.
You know what we did have to do, though, because we had a parking issue? We had to walk along Lakeshore Drive. Like, we're walking along Lakeshore Drive. It's cold. The wind's whipping. We're like, where the hell are we going? What's it? We have to carry some boxes in because you needed a couple extra hands. Oh, it was a disaster of a day. An absolute disaster.
But we remember it.
Yes, we
remember.
Do.
Handsome and I had a wonderful
night before.
Oh, I know.
Where'd you go?
Oh, don't ask.
Did you go to the hang up?
Where
did you go to
the hang up?
Where
didn't they go?
We went to the half shell, ate crab legs.
Yep. Nice.
And we visited my favorite spot that I used to live next to.
That was before we went
to Duke of Perth. We went to some places.
The hang up. Did you end up at the hang up?
We visited Wicker Park at some
Hangy
point.
Hangy uppie.
Dave made a few phone calls to our friends in Chicago.
A lot of fun. It was a great
We're out drinking. What are you doing?
Let's get to it. Money's going to depart now. We'll be worse for his absence, but we'll make it through just the same. Thanks, Money.
All right. Again, here's my picks.
I'll look off
sure you get in there.
There you go.
Let me see those.
Yeah, wow. Throw those picks are surprisingly, there's something really in common on all of them.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that? Huh?
Yep.
All right. Let's get to it as Money departs. Check him out, NFL Fantasy Live, and like we say, AM 570, the Petros and Money Show. Dig that one up, and you will be entertained. Whereas most radio shows and TV shows, sports shows, they like to see if they can have some naughty kind of fun and do stuff. Money and Petros have mastered the tone of not talking about sports at all for 20 minutes and it being highly entertaining, and you don't feel like, who are these two jokers? Not talking about sports. Most people do it. You can hear the effort through the radio, and it's no good. All right, let's get to it. Don't delay a game, me. All right, let's sing then. All right, hit it.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Oh, we got a style. We're going to our Route 66 Diner.
Oh, Dinah. See you, Money.
Take care, Money. I don't know why he just hit me with a red challenge flag, but all right. Yes, as we do, we take a look at the NFL menu, and MVP is our waiter. And like I say, we're visiting a roadside diner today. Waiter, tell us about what's first up today.
First up, we have our starters. We have Steelers versus Bills Buffalo Wings. A sticky finger food we recommend to all receivers. Make sure to ask for extra Sammy napkins when you frostbite into our December 6-6 Peaks Marquise Good Wings. Sammy coated in your choice of big habanero and shady McSoy sauces. Ask your server for some Marcellery 6 to cool down your Buffalo extra hot
seat. That's terrific.
Note, this buy one, get one Dupree offer is valid through 2017.
Buy one, get Dupree. Hey, Emma VP, nice. You can check out her full
you
menu there.
You should check out her full
NFL.com/menu.
You know who really likes the menus?
And yeah, well, it's not right on the graphic there, Emma VP. It's an NFL.com/NFL menu.
That's David Lair, our graphics guy. Oh, I'll talk to him.
I'm glad you throw somebody under the bus.
Do you know who loves the menus?
Marianne.
Marianne loves the menus.
I get some likes from her on Twitter.
Told you.
I like it.
She's a good liker.
Marianne Freeland told me to my face, I listen to your show mostly for the menu.
She's probably fast forwarded to this point.
Yeah, probably. All right, let's do it then. This is a big one for both teams, both currently on the outside looking in at the playoffs. Both teams would do well to win this one if they wish to be playing in January. It's supposed to snow. I don't know how
it
to
actually
feel
might
about
be too
that.
Cold to snow. It actually might be too cold to snow at game time.
I know I just celebrated the snow, but in a game of that's this important to my favorite team, I don't know if it favors the Steelers or if it hurts them, so I don't know how to feel about bad weather conditions. All right, Freeland. Steelers, Bills, choose.
Steelers.
Oh, Handsome Hank. Do you want to throw it? Go ahead. Throw it.
I would do, but I'm not going to because I don't think that the Bills are going to win the game.
All right.
Here's the issue for me.
I'm not going to throw it.
No, you shouldn't throw it either.
I don't know.
Why?
Because I'm worried.
What are you worried about?
I don't know if Javon Hargrave is definitely going to play. He was in the concussion protocol. He's been great. The rookie has been great as they have turned into a team that you could run from a team that you were running onto a team that
Much
is actually doing a nice job there without Cam Hayward. He and Stephon Tuitt are doing well. But if he's not out there, Shady McCoy, the season he's having, I don't know how much resistance the Steelers defense is going to put up to that. So that's my concern.
Right. I think the Bills might come into it. I like feelings. I think they might be a little shell-shocked from what happened in Oakland.
I like that he brings up feelings. That makes me happy.
Yeah, I'm surprised because you're the analytics person.
That's my
That's
a day job.
That's your
right.
But,
I still
but
have
emotions
feelings.
Cynthia also has feelings.
I do. I do have feelings, despite what
I'm with
the math
you.
Might
That's
say.
That's how all my picks are predicated on that, or 80% of my reasoning is based on, like, if I were in that position, I don't think I'd be in a good mood.
I mean, ultimately, look, for me, when it comes, and from the math perspective, too, which is what my math says that's where I come from on this, the Steelers, to me, their offense looked so good last week, and they've been improving, and their health seems to be in the right spot, and Ladarius Green seems to be a new wide receiver, even though he's technically a tight end, but the kind of use of him as finally as that receiver we're looking for, that's kind of, to me, that trumps what the Bills are going to be able to do.
D'Angelo Williams limited in practice this week, but he would be, I mean, he's people have sort of forgotten about the impact he had on the Steelers in 2015. If he can come back and provide something and can start splitting Le'Veon Bell out and using him as an X factor the way Todd Haley likes to.
Want to know my cool fact about Lev Bell?
Tell it.
So you don't think of the Steelers' O-line as being one of the top two, right? You maybe think Cowboys and maybe think Oakland Raiders, right? But when you look at stuff percentage, which is when a running back gets tackled behind the line of scrimmage, Lev Bell, he has by far and away the very best, which means the very lowest, stuff percentage. So he 3.7% of the time. Most people, elite is like 8%. That's what Ezekiel Elliott's doing right now. Lev Bell, 3.7%. It's all about yak.
I have often given a credit to Mike Munchak. There are certain guys we've talked about the idea of, can you elevate from being a position coach to being the head man? And some guys just aren't cut for one side or the other of that. Munchak, though, has done wonders with that offensive line. But Le'Veon Bell deserves more credit for that.
After contact.
He is one of those guys who, and it's as valuable outside of the obvious things. His fumble last week was the first fumble he's lost since his rookie season, which is just insane. One, and two, that's the other thing I always say about him. He, unlike Barry Sanders, who would often get tackled in the backfield as he was trying to hit home runs, Lev Bell always falls for it.
That's right. And his yards after contact 2 seasons ago, like, blew everyone else out of the water. So, like, if you look at it, maybe 3.5, about 3.5 yards after contact was his average for a season. That's insane. Most people, it's like 3 is elite in that category.
All right, let's move on to the entrees. Who'd Money take in the Steelers?
He takes all home teams.
He took the...
I believe the Bills, because I believe he has
all
home
Steelers.
Teams. Oh, he took the Steelers.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Let's move on to an NFC East tilt, waiter. Tell us about it.
All right, we have our Redskins versus Eagles Philly cheesesteak. The playoffs are at stake in this game of catch-up with the Big Cheese and Big D, so treat yourself to a taste of NFC grease with our Philly Meltdown Special. Featuring our Cheese Whiz Kid Wentz smothered on Italian hoagie sprouls, make sure to order Connor Bar with or without Garçonnions. Plus, due to our ailing Reed, wash this one downfield with our Fat Rob Stout.
I think that's great, except you failed yourself, waiter. But with the pronunciation, Connor Barwitt or wide-out Garçonnions.
Ooh.
Did I overdo that? Did I mispronounce?
A little bit, but I appreciate it.
Either way, Handsome Hank, Skins, Eagles, choose.
The Redskins.
Ooh. Freeland. Not going to throw a red challenge.
Nope. Flag.
I got to eat it, too, unfortunately. I love it.
Not unfortunate. It sounds delicious. Eat that.
No, it does sound very – as a matter of fact, I'm – I don't know if I should be ashamed to say, but I'm actually getting
actually
hungry.
Actually salivating.
I know, right?
over a pretend cheesesteak.
I never knew I wanted Garçonnions so bad.
So much. Exactly.
Just now. Yeah, I'll take the Skins as well. Freeland, why do you take DC?
Well, I think Jordan Reed is going to play. All signs indicate Jordan Reed's going to play. I think the biggest thing here is that Philadelphia Eagles offensive line ability to give some time to Wentz and to allow this offense to develop. They don't seem to have the ability to, you know, protect the pocket, give themselves some time for anything to really develop. And those downfield chunk plays, they're going to need those. And I don't think that they're going to be able to overcome what Kirk Cousins in that offense.
And when he does have the time, he doesn't necessarily throw it very well.
I think that there's a lot for Eagles fans to be happy about with Carson Wentz, for sure. Yeah. But you can't understate Lane Johnson being gone off that line. And also, like, who are the when you look for the wide receivers,
who
a little chicken and a little
to?
Egg, right? Like, there's not someone that has emerged as, like, a great, you know, wide out one that's battling those jump balls. But at the same time, it's like, well, maybe they're not calling that play. Right. We don't know that.
There's a lot more building to be done in Philly.
Yeah, but Wentz is good. I want to be clear.
It's funny because there has been a lot of recently now. The pendulum has swung back against Carson Wentz. His
mechanics they got to stop it. They got to stop it.
Well, his mechanics are. I mean, that you know, if you do look at it, it does seem like he's dropping the ball more than he used to in his windup to throw it. But like you say, the receivers aren't there. I mean, Kirk is one of the haves in terms of pass catchers, right. And Wentz is one of the have-nots. The thing about Wentz is people start talking about now that maybe he isn't as good as what people thought. Two things. I keep saying this the last week or two, but the Philadelphia Eagles of 2016 remind people the NFL season is long.
Correct.
Just always remember that. Whatever's happening in September, early October, just pump the brakes, good or bad.
Yep. Right.
The season ain't over, and you're not going to the Super Bowl based on whatever's happening at that given
September,
point.
Exactly.
They'll remind you of that. The other thing is, with all this attention being paid to Jared Goff and Carson Wentz and the celebration of Dak Prescott, and wow, they really should have taken him over the guys they took.
Stop it. Don't do that, anyone listening. They're too smart for that.
Well, the thing that stands out to me all of a sudden is, how about the Broncos and Paxton Lynch? Paxton Lynch is not, in his few appearances now, has not looked like anything special.
But if
the Cowboys would have had their druthers, that would have been the quarterback they took in the second
round.
That's the
story. I think that hasn't really been told. If you look at the Cowboys, so Jerry Jones came out the morning after day one of the draft and was saying, I wish I'd pulled the trigger on a Paxton Lynch trade. Then he tried to trade for Connor Cook that the Raiders took. We don't even know, what that guy's going to be in the NFL. He kind of, ashamedly was like, okay, well, we got Dak, let's move on. Then Romo goes down. He tries to replace him with almost every other backup quarterback in the NFL. Then, Kellen Moore, Dak Prescott looks like a great pick now and looks like a guy that everyone should be excited about. Let's not credit the Cowboys too much because they tried to replace or have anyone else on that team other than Dak.
Last year's draft class was not – so coming off the year before with Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota being like, oh, my goodness, we have – everyone was always like, oh, this draft class is very light in terms of quarterbacks. And then you see, I remember the knocks on – Paxton Lynch. So Paxton Lynch is pretty tall, like Brock Osweiler type tall. And he went to Memphis and he played like all of his, if you look at his, where he completed passes in college, short, 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 short left, short left, short, like literally his pass chart was not the kind of thing where you see this beautiful passes all across the field. But then again, when you look at what Dak Prescott did, it was he had this one game, right. 51 points where he scored 6 touchdowns. It's like a crazy thing where against, in this battle back and forth, insane. But his pass chart wasn't even amazing either. The point is, it's an imperfect science. And when you look at someone like Carson Wentz and you look at the level of competition he faced in college coming out of North Dakota State and then adjusting, I still think, I don't know about his mechanics. I'm not a mechanics expert, but I do think if you look and see when I've talked to people and when you look and see what's going on, it's the change in his O-line changed what they're calling. What they're calling has changed what he's able to do. So I mean?
He's got to still be the one outside of Dak, the one that we have questions about, the one with the highest ups.
Well, and by the way, I do still hold out some hope for Doriel Green Beckham, who's probably their best pass catcher. But that's where they need the upgrade along with the offensive line. All right, couple more real quick here. Let's get to it. The other side of the NFC. Oh, you know what? Man, we have 3 games, and I don't know how many we should try to get through here. Should we skip the menu read, MVP? I hate to do it. Which one are you proudest of? Seahawks, Packers, Cowboys, Giants, or Ravens, Patriots?
You pick. I'm good with all of them.
I don't actually read any of your words.
No, okay.
Now, which one should I read?
Let's do the Cowboys, Giants.
Okay.
Yeah, that one looks great.
All right, let's do the Cowboys versus Giants, New York Bagel and Lox. It's postseason birth brunch time, so stop by our New York deli for a Cole Wheat, Dez Ryan, or Pumpernickel back bagel with thin Met slice first NFC lox. No chive here. We highly recommend our Cowboys Everything bagel with 2 cream of the crop top choices for your rookie of the schmear.
It is incredible. But apart from the fact that she's an incredible writer, this is not supposed to sound patronizing. Emma's an amazing reader as well.
Agreed.
She doesn't stumble over any words.
Agreed.
Sometimes.
I disagree. But okay, everybody has their own opinion on these things. Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
New York Giants. Jeez.
Dallas Cowboys.
Free New York Giants. Come on. Somebody throw a red challenge.
Will you do it then?
All right, I will. Bang.
You really
I'm
think
taking
that? You really
yeah.
believe that?
That's right.
He
I'm
does
taking,
have
that's
it
what
here.
You had. What?
It does. Look at that right there. The New York Giants.
Explain yourself.
I feel like, first of all, I know I say this all the time, but we are at that time of the year. You remember now, one of the football cliches or whatever is that the games don't really start mattering until after Thanksgiving. Well, now we're in December, so this qualifies. The Giants need this one. They need the win. I don't call it a must win because they will play week 15 one way or the other, but they need it if they want to be playing in January. The Cowboys don't need it. What is on the Cowboys as they go up to New York right now? What is at stake for them, really? They're not going to lose the number one seed. I think they feel good. As long as they win another game, they're going to be.
I think they have a loss coming, but I don't think it's this week.
Well, I think it's the Lions.
I think it's the Bucks.
Let me apply this little logic to you too. You know how when teams play each other for a third time in the playoffs, and the one team has beaten the other one twice, and they say, "Whoa, it's awfully hard to beat a team three times in one year." You know what's even harder? To lose the first two and then beat them and disprove the 120 minutes of evidence. Well, I know it's a small sample size. Dak was playing his first regular season game, so was Zeke, and I get that. Still. The Giants beat them. The Giants are the only team to beat them, and that has to matter as now you 2.5 months later now go for round two here. The Giants should feel some amount of confidence. JPP's absence is the thing that makes me doubt my choice here, but I do think Eli Manning at home is after a bad week where he locked in on number 13 way, way, way too much in the second half, especially if you watch them play in Heinz Field, is going to be committed to spreading that ball around and will prove to be a little too much to handle for that Cowboys defense. I'm taking the Giants at home.
Despite the Cowboys defense being banged up and not as good as maybe we had hoped they were, you know, in the beginning of the season, I think what you've seen, the gelling of this offense, especially with JPP gone and that O-line, and now you have Dez Bryant playing in this game, that full health, they've established their chemistry. I don't think that Eli has had that consistent chemistry with his receivers this year. You see, like you said, he was locked in way too much on number 13 last game, and you've seen like kind of some inconsistent run game from the New York Giants. Like, even though the defense, Eli Manning could be like a good sleeper in fantasy, but I think that's because he's going to be playing from behind and have to throw the ball a lot.
I hear you, and I think that for all the credit I and a lot of other people give Rod Marinelli, the fact of the matter is that offensive line and Zeke Elliott have allowed them to spin the clock and depress scores. Every week people say, "Oh, this is going to be a shootout. This is a shootout game." But Zeke keeps that
time
from happening
possession.
Because they're spinning. The one exception to that was, or the biggest one, was in Pittsburgh. I think that's how you do have to get it done ultimately. I think Eli's team is built to put up a lot of points and combat that. So I do think the Giants.
Thought we maybe had swayed you.
Yeah.
No, okay. I'm not going to do it, but I hear you. Because I do think if they go up there and win this one, again, using that formula of just spinning the clock, I mean, it's pretty daunting stuff as we get closer and closer to the playoffs. And the team that looms to me is the greatest obstacle to Dak disproving 50 years of evidence that a rookie QB can't get his team to the Super Bowl is the Seahawks, but now they don't have Earl Thomas back there. I don't know. I feel like it's almost getting to be anticlimactic. Like, yeah, of course, the Cowboys are going to be the prohibitive favorites to roll through the NFC the way things are shaping up here. So maybe there's a part of me that wants to see a little more intrigue added here by Eli.
I like intrigue too, but
Seahawks, Packers in the snow. We're not going to read it, but I'm curious for your pick, Hannah.
I will take the Seahawks. I think the Bucks loss was an aberration.
Freeland, same for you.
I concur.
Do you want?
No, I'm taking the Seahawks in a very close one. But
I think it'll be a good game.
Yeah, I think both teams get up into the 20s.
All right.
And the Seahawks survive.
Okay. All right. I like that. I have it too. Something like more than 22 points each.
25-22.
Do you know what? I don't have it in front of me. I think I had it. I might be wrong. I think I had it 23-21. I might be wrong about that. But anyway.
I think I have 27-24, but the 27 obviously going to the away team.
To the Seahawks.
Yep.
All right, let's get to dessert now. Emma VP, tell us about it.
All right, for dessert, we have our Ravens versus Patriots Boston cream pie. Baltimore won't Boston harbor any hard feelings from January 2015, and neither should you. Our Boston cream pie made of New England patsy cake and pastry doomer filling gets its sweetness and Malcolm buttery texture from Belichick's Dante high-powdered perfectioner's sugar and Edelman shortening. Please, Mar, tell us how you liked our treat during the Pats playoff pie week.
Very nice way. Very nice way.
Very sounds delicious.
Although you did kind of throw a Boston cream pie into the face of Handsome Hank and his countrymen there with the reference to Boston Harbor. He does not like
That's
what
fine.
Happened in there.
Sorry, Hank.
That's
he
fine.
Did not it's approve okay. of what went down there back
Look,
the
we all, we century. Made friends again. It's all good.
That's true. That's true. All right, Cynthia Freeland, Ravens. Patriots, before I say that, one more thing on the Revolution. Isn't it weird that the New England Patriots, who, you know, they won, you know, a nation was born, you know, and who did they defeat, Cynthia Freeland? They defeated the Redcoats. So why do the New England Patriots then, when they induct somebody into their Hall of Fame, give you a red coat? Isn't that weird?
That is very weird.
Shouldn't it be blue?
I mean, or like maybe even like, I guess what the red, white, and blue, like an American flag, right?
That might be a little garish. I can't imagine you know Willie McGinnis walking around.
I would
around
love that, though, with like giant American people flag. And a giant flag.
Ravens, Patriots, choose.
You know what's weird is I actually, this one, I think is going to be a much closer game than you might originally anticipate when you hear Patriots Ravens in Gillette at Fox.
Oh, I disagree because I think everybody I'm seeing is is at minimum saying this is going to be a close game. A lot
okay.
of people are picking the Ravens.
You know, I do think that this is one where I was like, oh man, the Ravens could do this this week. But I have the Patriots because I stay true to my math by it like a nose.
Come on, handsome. Do it. Throw the red challenge flag. You're not going to?
I'll do it anyway.
No, do it if it's not sincere.
No, because, I mean, I think it's going to be very close, and I could be swayed either way. I watched the Ravens last week. They put a beat down on the Miami Dolphins, and I saw lots of things from them that I hadn't necessarily expected to see, and I wouldn't be surprised if they could do it to a Gronkless Patriots team and, a defense that's not all there. So why not? Yeah, here we go.
Oh, Handsome Hank, a little dainty with that throw.
Well, I didn't want
to. Would you like to?
Didn't
want to
hurt.
You want me to?
You can do it again.
I mean, if you're going to throw it at her.
Oh, sorry.
Oh,
I'm not very accurate.
I don't know why I had to take that, but all right, I'm going to take the Patriots 30-21. I think Tom Brady has a game here. I think he has a good game, and I don't.
It's the kind of game he might do.
I'm not really worried about Tom Brady. I'm more worried about the Patriots defense.
I completely agree with you about that. And Flacco, as I always say, the two asterisks that you need to list next to Flacco is one. He always plays well against the Patriots,
right.
And two, he always plays well in Heinz Field. Inexplicably, the dud games that he tends to have are those weird ones over the course of an NFL season, including at home against the Dolphins. I thought that the Dolphins might take a shot at him, and instead he throws four touchdown passes. I don't know exactly what to make of this one going into it, but I'm going to take the Patriots at home because their situation is now more precarious than it seemed like it was going to be a month ago. So they understand the need to try and win out if they want to be the number one seed. And I think that motivation wins out. Freeland.
I'm going at Patriots. That's it.
Right. I think,
Ken Dixon, look out for him.
They ran well last week, and I didn't anticipate they would with LeGarrette Blount. I don't know that going forward they're going to be able to continue to consistently
they're not gonna be able to run on the Ravens.
Power
right?
run. Yeah, they're not going to do it against the Ravens.
Right.
I think the X factor in this one, but I said this a week ago too, is Deion Lewis. And what they're doing is
Correct.
Instead of throwing those two tight ends out there,
just two running backs.
Now they're throwing James White and Deion Lewis out on the field and say, deal with that, everybody.
Well, I mean, if you look at the way that the usage has changed without Gronk, in the games we've seen without Gronk, the thing about Gronk is that he lines up in all six positions, so out wide on either side, in the slot on either side, and then tight on either side. And they use him in all of those different positions. Whereas, like, when you have Martellus Bennett, they really only use him in four, right, instead of six. So it's different usage, so it changes the, when it's Deion Lewis, it's pass catches to running backs. When it's, when it's LeGarrette Blount, it's straight up running. And, and Julian Edelman gets more looks, and they just change it around just a little bit. So I feel like they're kind of doing the same thing, but they're changing their personnel looks, but they're running the same play, even though who's doing it is a little bit
different.
Different
person, right.
Ninkovich was a difference maker last week, but boy, I don't know about that defense. That's the I mean, that's going to be the recurring issue, and boy, can't wait to watch Week 14 to try and make some sense, because all of a sudden, what seemed clear to me, a Seahawks and Patriots Super Bowl a month ago, is now awfully murky.
Wow, you thought Seahawks Patriots?
I was certain of it. I said I am more certain of this one than I have been in the last 5 years at midseason, and now it feels up in the air. Hey, so I mentioned Al Franken. If you're listening to the audio, Al Franken is coming up next.
Dave, da 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 don don't, Dave.
Oh, this is very exciting for me. I think I'm fairly certain this is the first U.S. senator to ever join us on the Dave Damashek football program. Here he is, the junior U.S. senator of Minnesota, Saturday Night Live legend, a deadhead, and a Minnesota Vikings fan, Senator Al Franken. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. No, I'm pretty good. I'm good. Happy to be on. Happy to be joining you.
Well, I appreciate all things considered. Let's start here. Like I mentioned, Saturday Night Live, also a part of your background. I saw a tweet the other day saying Saturday Night Live wasn't good anymore. Your thoughts?
I think that was there's probably other people said that and tweeted that, but I think you're talking about the president-elect.
That's who it was. That's right.
Yeah, he watches it evidently, but the irony there, of course, he was tweeting, I think, about a sketch in which Alec Baldwin playing him can't stop tweeting. And so there's just too much irony this year as is. So
yeah, it's unusual though that since he doesn't like it that he continues to force the show upon himself.
Yep, there's so much there, including his just every day we're hearing different nominees to cabinet posts that are so when you asked me how I was, that's why I didn't give you an immediate thumbs up.
I assumed you weren't just giving me the rhetorical great. I was reading into that. So all right, let's distract ourselves for just a second here.
Sure.
Then with some pro football talk.
Is it too good for?
Are the Vikings too late to turn this thing around? Such glorious beginnings here, and over the last 6 weeks or so, a little bit of a slide. In your expert opinion, can Minnesota still get to the postseason here?
I suppose it's mathematically possible. I mean, this has been a very, very, very odd season. Teddy gets hurt. We go 5-0 with Bradford. We're looking like a Super Bowl team, and then now we're 6-6. It doesn't look very good. It doesn't look very hopeful.
All right, well, let's try to be optimistic and say that by 2017, the team will hit its full stride just in time for Super Bowl 52 in Minnesota. It's a glorious looking new building, but I do have this, I don't know if it's a moral or ethical issue. Shouldn't all NFC North teams be forced to play outdoors? They're waiving their potential home field advantage. Shouldn't you, in your position, couldn't you enact some sort of a law that requires all teams to be outside in the mighty NFC North?
That would be a tough one to get through. We have higher priorities, is what I think we're saying. Also, we just this is a year old, the stadium. I mean, this is the first year of the stadium. I was the home opener. It's a beautiful stadium, and I used to go to the games at the Metropolitan Stadium, and it was cold. It could get cold, and it was a home field advantage. And Bud Grant used to actually make our team play without heaters on the sideline. I asked him once. First time I met him, I said, "Why did you not allow heaters on the sidelines for the Vikes?" And he said, this is his answer, there are certain things people can do when they're cold.
Well, that's hard to argue with that. I mean, what response is there? There isn't one, really.
No. And he's Bud Grant, so you take everything. I mean, he's God. So, but believe me, it's a beautiful stadium. We're happy to be playing indoors.
Well, it's too bad that there isn't such a thing as global warming, apparently, according to some of the people that you work with, because then there would be no need for domes. Then everybody could just be outside because it would be warm all the time.
There's extreme weather. There is warming.
And he got the right name?
Kennedy.
Who is
the reason why when you said how are you, I just didn't go like I'm great.
again, yes, referring back to that response. Who, if let's say a Viking, a bear, a lion, and a Packer got into a fight, who would win that fight?
The correct answer, since I'm senator from Minnesota, is the Viking.
Sure, right. Because he's got like an axe, I assume, a Viking, but a bear and a lion.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. More or less, okay, so who do we got? We got a Viking, a bear, a lion.
And a Packer from Green Bay, which is a meat packer. I don't think he would stand much of a chance against the beasts.
I'd say it depends what you're, you know. The meat packer would have the gun.
He would. I didn't know that. Yeah.
The Viking would have some kind of axe, and so I think the Packer wins that one.
If speaking of mascots, if the Electoral College had a football team, what do you suppose its mascot would be?
I see what you're saying. It would be an elector.
An elector, yeah, that would be the Electoral College electors.
Yeah, it would be. I guess it would be someone in some kind of late 18th century garb.
What do you make of
the decision to be a white male? I'll tell you that.
That makes sense. Yeah. What do you make of Colin Kaepernick, who obviously has been taking a knee during the national anthem? What do you think of not just Colin Kaepernick, but of professional athletes using their forum as it is to make political statements?
I think it's legitimate. I mean, he was making a statement about something that's been a problem in our country, which has been that now that we have, iPhones and people being able to take videos, we're seeing that there has been, through the life of our country, a problem in which police have a very difficult job, and most of whom are, doing their difficult job well. But there has been historically this problem of violence against by police that's inappropriate against people of color.
Who is shifting gears then? You know, obviously pretty fascinating resume that you have to put out to the world there. Comedy writing legend and now U.S. Senator. What sort of transition did that require for you? Are you still a wiseacre? Do you loosen Mitch McConnell and company up with before you get into debating issues with them? How's that go? How have you had to pivot your behavior?
We debate on the floor, but then afterwards go out to dinner, and no one laughs harder than Mitch at my.
I started to believe you. I thought you were being serious.
Yeah, it's a different job, but I think I have a sense of humor, and I enjoy, laughing with my colleagues. And I think it was helpful, that I laugh a lot, and my colleagues kind of went, oh, I see why he became a comedian. He likes to laugh. He didn't do it just as my Republican colleagues would say. He became a comedian because he's funny and he likes to laugh, not because he wanted to heap scorn and ridicule on Republicans. So. So I think it's helpful. Humor is helpful in any walk of life.
Well, I guess in broad philosophy, you know, it's always occurred to me that people who are funny are sort of marginalized as not being bright. But of course, I assume that you might agree with this, that in order to be funny, you have to be intelligent. Those two things can't be mutually exclusive. Almost, is that a fair thing to say?
I think humor is a kind of intelligence. So I've met very, very intelligent people who have almost no sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've met someone with a really, really great sense of humor who isn't at least intelligent on that level, which means they have a certain kind of intelligence anyway. How's that?
I like that answer, and you wrote a book a number of years ago that I loved. Rush Limbaugh is a big fat idiot, and other observations. Would you say that Rush Limbaugh and Roger Ailes are the most responsible? Without saying it as a positive or a negative, would you say they're the most responsible for, you know, from the outside, or as much as you could say outside Roger Ailes, but would you say they were the most responsible for the election result
this year?
Yeah.
I think that they're part of, you know, something that happened starting in, Rush represents, of course, talk radio and conservative or right-wing talk radio. That's why I picked him back in 95 to write about. And Roger represents, you know, he headed up Fox News Channel for forever until he had to leave recently. And I think that has to do a lot about how we have become so bifurcated in the way people get their political news. And then the internet did that as well, and I think that's created a kind of a world where there are people who are literally getting fake news and tweeting it to each other or Facebooking it or that sort of thing. And I think we do have more than ever people getting their news from one source, one group of people getting it from one source, another group getting it from another source, and why it's hard to get people to agree on things and have almost separate realities. And in some cases, some are living in sort of a fact-free world. And I think each side might argue with the other about who that is, but I think I know which side is more fact-free. I don't think millions of Americans voted fraudulently, for example, as has the president-elect has said, without any actual evidence.
What advice then would you give? Because that does feel like a bit of a dead end, that you recognize, or the figurative you recognize, that only a percentage of the population is hearing what you're saying. Not you, I mean the media. The political opinion is only being received by, let's say, roughly half of the American population. What advice do you have for anybody who is nervous about the next several years here? What action is there for anyone to take here?
Well, I think it is troubling. Do have to be aware that there is this phenomenon of now people getting their news from completely different sources, and therefore people being susceptible to hearing stuff that isn't true and then repeating it by clicking on it and then sending it off to friends, etc. You know, it's funny, it was the 75th anniversary of Pearl Harbor yesterday, and I was listening to C-SPAN radio. That's what a sad life I have as a senator. But I heard FDR's radio chat or speech on December 9th, 2 days after, and he was talking about sort of the same thing, something related, which is don't believe
people
who, unless it's coming from official sources, and this is 2 days after Pearl Harbor, you know, take everything you hear with a grain of salt in terms of how the war is going and what's happening. So, I mean, this is not, it's not a new thing. It, because of the internet, because of other phenomena, there are, it's changed and maybe in a more dangerous place than ever. But it was very interesting that 2 days after the attack on Pearl Harbor, a chunk of FDR's speech was how to, what the information coming out was from the government was going to be like, and the sort of the parameters of what was being shared and what wasn't being shared, and how not to repeat things that you hear that may not be true. So it's and that reminded me about that was an incredibly dangerous time. Obviously, we had just been attacked, and we were entering into a global war. So it puts a little bit of this present moment into perspective.
Well, Senator, I really appreciate the time today. I'd love to get to talk with you for the next 3 hours and hear your thoughts on stuff. But in the meantime, best wishes to you in the Senate, in the Congress. Fascinating, I guess, isn't the perfect adjective, but I suspect the next several years for you and your Democratic colleagues will be fascinating, if nothing else.
It's always fascinating. And go Vikes, of course. And, you know, when I said it looks like we can mathematically do this, it's just, and we're going to turn it around. We've had a lot of injuries on the offensive line, but I thought last week we were a lot closer to we've had a lot of close games lately. So things have been a little bit shaky.
All right. Well, best to your Vikings the rest of the way here. Best wishes to you. And again, Senator, really appreciate the time, sir.
Thanks, Dave.
There he is, everybody. Senator Al Franken. How about that on the Dave Damashek football program? An honor, a legitimate honor for me to get to speak with the great Al Franken, not just as one of our senators, but as a comedy legend. Great stuff from him. All right, that's it for us today on the Dave Damashek football program. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce next week. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.